Coming up next, I'm going to share 5 habits to boost your mental agility. And then, are we stuck in a ghosting spiral? There's a new trend of people quietly quitting in their job. And of course, I'm going to coach you up. All right, folks, welcome to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you win at work and in life. I'm Ken. Here we go. I'm going to share with you 5 habits to increase your mental agility. What do I mean by mental agility? Very simple. Mental agility means this: the ability to think quickly and easily. Quickly and easily. Now, those are 2 different things. Some of you go, well, quickly and easily. No, they're not 2 different things here. I can think quickly, like, boom, I'm able to process a thought in a moment of crisis, in a moment of disappointment, in a moment of jubilation, a moment of opportunity. I'm able to think quickly, processing quickly. I have something in my mind. I have a discipline. I have a framework to be able to think quickly and then easily process. Quickly, easily. If you think about agility, you think of a running back. What are they? Well, they're quick, but then they move easily, right? Effortlessly is what we're talking about here. You can't knock them over easily. They don't trip and fall very often. They're agile. They're quick. They move easily, effortlessly. So that's mental agility. Now, why does this matter? Can I tell you what I think one of the biggest problems our world faces today? One of the biggest problems that we as humans face? Here it is. We are mentally consuming junk food. We aren't just mentally consuming junk food some of the time. I think we're mentally consuming junk food most of the time. Now, what do I mean by mental junk food? Negative news. Turn the freaking news off. There's only so much scrolling of negativity that a human brain can handle. If you don't think it affects you, you're crazy. It does affect you. What we focus on, we act on. So junk food is negative cable news, negative internet news, whatever. Meaning, if you're paying attention to the news, and by the way, the news is 99.9% negative. So if that's all you focus on, the world is exploding, falling, and that impacts you. Now, all of that news may be true, but what I'm saying is if that's all you feed yourself, or you feed yourself a lot of that, that's a big part of your mental diet, then it's going to have a negative effect on you. All right? How about trashy news, right? People doing stupid stuff, entertainment news that just has no redeeming value at all, right? It's the latest gossip rags, things of that nature. How about gossip in the office? You regularly show up at the gossip table. Hey, what's the latest? It's like TMZ for the office. Give me the latest dirt. Reading negative authors, listening to podcasts that are negative in nature, attacking, shouting, angry all the time. That's what I mean by mental junk food. You know, just as junk food kills the body, nobody's going to disagree with me today on that statement. Mental junk food kills the mind. Mental junk food will kill your mind. We talked about mental agility to start the show. That's what this is all about. How do we become mentally agile? By how we train and feed our brain. Yes, that's what we're talking about. And junk food kills the physical body, and mental junk food kills the mind, to where you cannot be mentally agile. You cannot think quickly and make decisions easily. You just can't, because of the junk in your mind. So what's the solution? I'm glad you asked. I've been working on this for some time, and I'm passionate about this. And so I want to reveal 5 habits of consumption. 5 habits of mental consumption. This is what you ought to be, watch, feeding your brain, feeding your mind. Five habits of mental consumption. Here we go. Number one, education. Education. I need to always be feeding myself information that allows me to learn. I'm learning about my physical health. I'm learning about parenting. I'm learning about marriage. I'm learning about my craft, my learning about business ideas. Any area of your life, you need to be constantly learning. You need to be reading, listening, and watching content that allows you to learn. Education is one of the mental food groups. Education. Why? For growth. I am consuming educational content for growth. Number two, inspiration. I am consuming autobiographies, biographies, deep dive interviews of women and men that are very successful. Why? Why do I want to consume inspirational content? For vision. For vision. When I read a biography, an autobiography, or I listen to a deep dive interview or watch something on TV, a great interview of a great woman or man and what they've done, I am inspired to see a better future. What could I do as a result of what I've learned? Number three, restoration. Folks, this is huge. I need to have a habit of consuming restorational content for healing. Why? Because in areas of my life I am going to have pain and brokenness. And so I need restoration in my physical life, maybe. Restoration in my relationships, spiritual life, maybe even my professional life. So we consume restoration content for healing. Next, fourth mental food group, contemplation for perspective. I need to be contemplating. I need to be reading philosophy. I need to be reading theology. I need to be reading different worldviews of my own. Why? To expand my perspective and thus my depth. And number five, you've noticed so far in these mental food groups of education, inspiration, restoration, and contemplation, there's not a whole lot of fun there. Well, here's the fifth food group. The mental food group is imagination. It's imagination. So I love spy novels. I really do. I love reading about all these crazy spy novels, you know, Tom Clancy stuff, Brad Thor, he's a Nashville resident. Now, why do I do that? Because sometimes I need my brain to be filled with creativity and imagination and just let my brain rest. And imagination is a wonderful, healthy place for the mind. That's why we love movies. So what's the takeaway? When I feed my mind in those mental food groups, education, inspiration, restoration, contemplation, imagination, when I change my mental appetite, I change my life. When you change your mental appetite, what you put in your mind is what you focus on. And when we're intentional, oh my goodness, we're learning for growth. We're being inspired for a vision for a future. We're being restored for healing. We're contemplating for perspective. We are imagining for release. When you change your mental appetite, you change your life. What are you feeding your mind? This is the Ken Coleman Show. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it on a Friday, folks. I got the juice. Did you know that project management is one of the fastest growing skills worldwide? Economists are saying that the field, the career path, if you will, of project management is expected to grow by 33% through 2027. And that's why we are launching the second round of our popular course, Project Management 101. I'm teaching alongside our Ramsey Chief Technology Officer, Brendan Wojcko. It's a 3-week course. You'll walk away with tools and strategies that will help you confirm you want a career in project management and jumpstart your career in project management. Spots are limited. Don't wait. It's extremely affordable. And our first group absolutely loved it. So go check it out, RamseySolutions.com/project, RamseySolutions.com/project. project. All right, a couple of items to unpack for you folks, because I'm a man of the people, keeping you informed, keeping you equipped to be agile. Let's go in the news. All right, first story from the BBC, headline, Why Workers and Employers Are Ghosting Each Other. And this is a thing that I think is a troubling trend. I've talked about this many times on the show. So what is ghosting? Ghosting is, instead of a company replying to you, sending you some notification, say, hey, thank you for being a part of the interview process. We've selected another candidate. They just don't reply at all. At all. I mean, nothing. On the employee side, instead of a withdrawal from the employment process, or the interview process rather, you just don't show up. Like, we've heard stories of people not showing up for interviews. The interview's scheduled, everybody's there. Here we go. It's supposed to be 9 a.m. It's 9:15. Where's Larry? 9:25. Where's Larry? Let's call Larry's cell phone. Let's email Larry. Larry doesn't answer. Larry doesn't care, right? He just doesn't care. That's ghosting. So that's the idea. This is from a BBC article, and I got to read just this quick little story in the article. They highlight a gal by the name of Laura who was invited for a final stage interview at a music corporation. She thought she was on the cusp of landing a dream job. She passed through the first round phone interview. She met with all the team members in person, and there was one meeting left, and that was to meet with the senior level executive. And the way it was positioned to her was it was a formality. You know, the idea is that all your other interviews have gone well. And if this last conversation goes well, you're going to get the offer. And then nothing happened. She got initial guarantees that she would be joining the team. The email formally confirming this reality never happened. She would follow up to the firm's HR department, only to receive non-committal replies. It was always me instigating it. And the last message I got was promising to contact me as soon as they had more information, and then never heard from them again. So the term ghosting, I originally came out of the online dating world, right? And this is the whole nature of the digital world we live in, the online social media world, where we're not physically talking to somebody. We're not in their presence. And it's all emails and online profiles. And so someone can literally go dormant. You don't know where they live. By the way, that'd be creepy to show up at their house anyway. And so now it's become a thing that ghosting is now happening in the professional world. There's another form of ghosting where people will quit their job and don't give notice. They just don't show up. Let's talk about Larry's obnoxious cousin, Lenny. All right, we talked about Larry ghosting the interview. Lenny's the guy that quits his job, and he doesn't come in and say, hey, listen, I'm going to give you 2 weeks' notice. I'm out. Lenny just doesn't show up for a shift. Call Lenny. Lenny ain't answering. Email Lenny. Lenny's deleting the email. Where's Lenny? And he's working for somebody else. That's become a form of ghosting. Companies are adopting this awful interaction, or this lack of interaction, this awful habit, shall we say. And the reason companies are doing it is easier. Simply put, it's less work for HR or hiring managers to reach out and communicate. And let me just tell you what ghosting really is. Ghosting is a decision that is based on a feeling that you don't matter. You don't matter. I don't need to communicate to you. We're not going to hire you. In other words, it doesn't matter. I mean, these companies are, these are professional people, supposedly, right? We could say they're professional in many ways. But to not reply to somebody, not let somebody know where they stand, this is you saying it doesn't matter, so they don't matter. The reason it doesn't matter, ghosting doesn't matter, you know, it doesn't matter. I don't need to send them any kind of true information or real correspondence to let them off the hook, let them know we're not moving on with them. The reason it doesn't matter is because you don't think they matter. And the reason you don't think they matter is because you didn't choose them. But this is awful for your brand, leaders. It's awful for your personal brand. It's awful for the brand of your company. It's awful. People are going to talk about this stuff. Do we not think that this has consequences? Now, let me flip this. Those of you who ghost in the interview process, you just withdraw, but you never tell them. That's awful for your brand. You think that's not going to eventually track you or catch up to you? It will. Somehow, some way, it will. It's called character. Where did character go? Just to be a classy individual. Those of you who just go, you know, like Lenny, my example, Larry's obnoxious cousin Lenny, you think, oh, you know what? These people treat me like crap. It's toxic. Never in a million years am I ever going to see these people again. I never work for them again. So you know what? I'm not going to show up. Screw them. And that's what's happening. And you think, okay, well, that's fine. No, it isn't. It's not right. You think that not? You don't think the potential for that to come back and haunt you? That's bad for your personal brand. They're going to talk about you. It may never hold you from a job, but it is going to be a negative. What are we doing? This takes a little bit of class, companies, leaders, hiring managers, HR pros. Shame on you. Those of you who quit the interview process, pull out, and don't tell people, shame on you. Those who walk away from your job and don't tell anybody, shame on you. It's easy, but it's awful. All right, up next. Fed up with long hours, many employees have quietly decided to take it easy at work rather than quit their jobs. This is from Business Insider. Fascinating stuff here. Aki Ito is the author of this article and calls out a job recruiter who saw an opportunity to fulfill a different ambition. He liked his job. He just wanted to work less. He's starting to pay attention because he's in the recruiting business to the Great Resignation. He saw how employers he worked with were desperate to hold on to their workers. It gave him an idea. Companies have a vice grip on even moderately good employees. So I thought, what if I scaled back? Folks, this is really, really interesting stuff, and I think it's spot on. By the way, the author has heard this conversation. Over the past few weeks, I've been talking to professionals like this guy who are strategically dialing back at work. During the pandemic, they came to see work as just that, work. For the first time in their lives, they view their jobs as a source of a paycheck only, not a higher calling that demands their utmost devotion. And the pandemic created the ideal conditions to live out their new resolve. The hot job market has ensured their job security. So after feeling years of exploitation from their employers, late nights, lost weekends, demand for loyalty, the tables have turned. In this sense, these professionals are mounting a secret resistance against the status quo. Hustle culture is over. And in some corners of corporate America, it's being replaced by a coasting culture. This guy's dialing back, and that's just her quotes, the author. But I'm going to tell you something. People are dialing back big time, just like this example, because they realize they've kind of got companies in between a rock and a hard place. Can't lose them. They also realize their leaders aren't paying that much attention anyway, and they're downshifting. This is awful. Now, I'm telling you, it'll swing back. People won't just coast forever. They're going to want meaning. But leaders, you better pay attention to this. This is the Ken Coleman Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, helping you win in work and in your life. Here's what I know. I know that every one of you was created to work. If I change that word, some of you just got indigestion. You're like, I need the Pepsi AC. Where's the Maalox? But if I change that one word there at the end of that, you were created to contribute, you'd go, okay, now that I get. And that's what I know. You were created to contribute. You were created to fill a unique role in this world. You are needed and you must do it. Somebody out there needs you to be the best version of you. I want to help you figure out what that is, and watch what happens. You will increase your income and you will also increase your impact. And then Monday morning isn't going to suck anymore. By the way, something else I know, when people say, oh, if you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. Well, that's crap, too. Somebody said that, and I know what they meant, but it's garbage. Because I love what I do, and I work my freaking tail off. And that's why I work my freaking tail off. Because it's bigger than me. It's not about money. It's not about status. It's about legacy and contribution. So, that sounds good to you. You are in the right place. We'll coach you up. That's why we're here. We're going to teach you. We're going to inform you. And then we coach you. That's what the show is all about. I do want to say really quickly, we've got our diehards over here that are in the chat room on YouTube, as we're live on YouTube. And I want to address one thing here. Mr. E said, I took Ken's Get Clear assessment, and I don't exactly agree with my report on talents. Mr. E, I am so glad you shared that. That doesn't bother me. But here's what I know. I've talked to several people who've said that. And then I've been able to talk to them, and they explain where they think it's off. And I have them reread the description, and I read it back to them, and they go, oh. Or they've gone and talked to people who know them very, very well, and they've said, what do you think about this assessment? And almost every time the person goes, it's exactly you. Mr. E, you're the one that answered the questions. Therefore, you need to go back, and I want you to get some feedback from three or five people who know you really well, and then we'll see where we're at. I think there's an interpretation issue, because that's what we do with words, and I want you to dive deeper, all right? Not because I need to be right, because this has nothing to do with me. They're your answers. Dive deep with feedback. Stay with this process. All right. Thanks for the input, though. I love that. All right. Back to the phones we go. Kayla joins us in Springfield, Illinois. Kayla, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. How are you?
I'm living the dream, Kayla. What are you doing?
Awesome. I'm enjoying the sunshine and some warmth for the first time in a while.
can I just say amen to that? We're supposed to be in the 80s today, and I can't wait. I mean, the minute I'm done today, I'm getting the shorts on. First of all, my legs need some sun. You know what I mean? I'm afraid, Nathan, that when I put my shorts on today, if the sun hits them just right, the astronauts in the International Space Station will report a solar flare. That's how pale I am, if you know what I'm saying, Kayla.
Yeah, I totally get it.
Yeah, too much information for all of our listeners and viewers. What's going on? How can I help?
Okay, so I have been in my current place of employment for the last 4.5 years. My first administrative type of job. I had managed a group for quite a while, and I was burnt out. So I started looking for other opportunities within the organization, and I decided to move from management into sales. And so I am there now, currently just kind of learning what the sales is all about, and also still partially doing my previous job, because I'm a brain that did it for a while. So still kind of helping that team as they haven't found a replacement yet. I don't know that I might be having that grass is greener situation like you describe a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But what I'm looking at is possibly leaving now based on some cultural situations that are going on. And also I've had an opportunity practically fall into my lap that I hadn't considered before, but it may offer something that's more directed toward my talent.
Great. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to pursue this new opportunity like your life depends on it. I mean, research it from every angle possible. Think about some very specific questions that you want to ask about to determine what the culture's like. Do research on the company and how they treat their customers, what their customer rates, how they treat their vendors. Find somebody that knows somebody in that company and get on the phone with, get real feedback from people that work there, and just do your homework to see if this is, in fact, a healthy culture. You got to really research that stuff. And then in the interview process, determine, is it a sweet spot fit for you? Does it allow you to spend the majority of your day doing work you're really good at, talent? Does it allow you to spend the majority of your day doing work you really love? Passion. Does it allow you to spend the majority of your day creating results that matter deeply to you? That's mission. Talent plus mission plus, talent plus passion plus mission equals purpose. Mm-hmm. You're on purpose. And you'll know this connects to my why. Okay?
Right.
Now, once we determine that, don't look back.
Right.
Oh, I detected a little something there. There was a I'm going to call that a sigh and a giggle combo, wasn't that?
Yeah. So
why is that? It's just, why was there a sigh and a giggle?
So I've done the research. It's actually like a company that I'm pretty familiar with already. I have a person that I know, an acquaintance that I researched. I called them, I asked them about it. And so they said it was a great, great place to go. I don't know. I think the fact that I did really work hard to get into the position that I'm at now, and I just am anxious about it, you know, like anxious about the future that I could potentially be missing at my current job, even though I'm not sure that it it's going to be fulfilling.
Okay, wait a second. Wait. So the kids call this FOMO, fear of missing out.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're dealing with some FOMO. And so I love chasing this because it's fear. Fear of missing out.
Yeah.
You're afraid that if you take this other company that looks like a really great opportunity, that you're going to miss even better opportunity where you're at. So is fear telling you the truth, or is fear holding you back? It's one or the other. You have to investigate that fear. Is there a ladder of opportunity for you that is wildly attractive to you at your current company? You have to go research that and figure it out. It's not hard. But you may be afraid of something that's not real. It's like my kids telling me, Dad, there's a monster under my bed. My kids really believed there was a monster under the bed. The only way I could convince my kids there wasn't a monster under the bed is to crawl under the bed and reemerge with my head still on my shoulders. And they're like, okay, it didn't bite Dad's head off. I can go to sleep. Now, I mean, you laugh, but that's really what kids are dealing with. And that's what you're dealing with. You have created this thing in your mind, or your mind is doing what it's supposed to do, which is protect you. I got you. So I'm helping you here. Is fear protecting you from leaving and going to a company that you're going to end up you're going to miss out on something? Or is fear holding you back? That's what you have to determine. I cannot do that for you. Go do the research. So it sounds like my homework assignment for you is research, 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 and more research. Let's look at the opportunity before us. Let's look at our current situation and what's right. And folks, this is about getting clear so that we can make confident decisions. Some of you are ready to move on. We are still in the hottest job market we've ever seen. 3.4% unemployment. Companies are paying incredible money, great benefits, signing bonuses, free tuition. Some of you are still scared to put yourself out there. That's why I endorse the number one hiring site in America, and it's free to you. ZipRecruiter. Their technology makes it super easy for you. In minutes, you go to ZipRecruiter.com, you fill out a profile, attach your resume, watch what happens. They begin to push you and pitch you. When they find a company that goes, hey, we're interested, they send it to you. And with one click, you apply. Go check it out, ZipRecruiter.com. You matter. You have what it takes. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
If you enjoy this podcast, you should check out other great podcasts from the Ramsey Network, like Ramsey Everyday Millionaires.
Ordinary people built extraordinary wealth, and you can too. On Everyday Millionaires, you'll learn how millionaires live on less than they make, avoid debt, invest, and are disciplined and responsible. Listen to Everyday Millionaires wherever you listen to podcasts.